You're listening to Playing the Numbers Podcast, bringing you baseball numbers you don't know but need to know, and deep dives on teams and players around the league. Now, presenting your co-hosts, Avery Redd and Shane Mohan.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you all enjoyed your weekend. A lot of stuff to go over. Shohei announced he's in the Derby. Looking forward to that. We'll go over it. Wander Franco's getting his debut this week. And Kyle Schwarber is no longer a human being. The man is on a tear. I'm Shane Mohan, joined with my co-host Avery Redd. As always, let's get into the numbers.
What's going on, everybody? A lot of stuff. Before we break into the weekly recaps of all the series, we want to show you our new soundboard that we just got. We got some sound bites we can use for the pod. We're really excited about it. So, for example, if Shane is being a motherfucker, we'll hit him with one of these.
You motherfucker!
And on the flip side, if our boy Abe over here is fucking joshing about the Nats and how he thinks they're the shit when they're not, we would hit him with one of these.
Any Pulp Fiction fans out there, you should know that one. We'll save the rest for when they come about, but super excited about having that on the pod. Hopefully you guys enjoy it, get some laughs out of it. But let's break into the weekly recaps, the series recaps, I should say. I started off this week with the NL. Shane will take the AL. Let's start it off. So we got the Fishies and the Cubs in Wrigley. Fish take it 2-1. They take game one and two, 10-2 and 7-2. Cubbies take game three, 2-0. Pablo Lopez, great start, 7 shutout innings, 1 hit. No walk, 7 Ks, and not too familiar with this guy, Zach Thompson, but in game three, he on the Marlins, 4 no-hit innings with 3 walks and 7 Ks, so I'll tip my cap to that.
Yeah, especially the 7 Ks through 4. I mean, that's pretty big.
Yeah, that's impressive. So, Fishies take the series. They're now 31-40. Cubbies get their 40th win of the year in game three, 40-32. Now we're going to break into the Mets at the Goats. The Nats, I meant. Sometimes I get those confused. Nats take it 3-1. Schwarber is on an absolute fucking tear. 5 home runs in 2 games. The man is on another planet right now.
Honestly, dude. You're still 33-36. Shut the fuck up.
Guess what? We're a game behind you guys, and we're coming for that second place. And guess what? I'm going to be fucking laughing my ass off when your motherfucker ass is crying because you're in third place behind us.
Give it some time, man. It'll all ease in, and you'll see where your team stands. I'm surprised you haven't read the fucking writing on the wall anyway, but...
Hey, these bats are heating up, my friend. Schwarber's heating up. Bell's heating up. Trey's getting back into the swing of thing. Soto's finally finding his stride. The pitching's been there all year. Look out, motherfucker.
On the flip side, I will give you that the pitching, especially as of late, has peaked. And if you can maintain that, then, yeah, there is some potential contention. I still think the Phils come out on top over your asses at the end of the year.
It could go either way, but, I mean, it's like I said, we had that 3-game sweep against Pittsburgh, and sometimes that's all it takes. Go up against a shitter, take care of business, and you get back into the winning ways. So
that was big statement, though, beating the Mets in 4.
Yes, it was. I mean, we should be getting Scherzer back soon. Strasburg, I'm not sure about him. He's been having some problems, but Corbin's starting to get back in the swing of things. Fetty had a hell of a start. But we can go over this more in the Nats Phils preview we're going to be dropping. We missed the last series because we had some stuff going on during the Nats and Phils, and we didn't have time. But this week, Nats Phils playing a 2-game set, we will be breaking it down. But that wraps it up for that one. Washington takes it 3-1. I love to see it. We got the Brewers and the Rockies at Coors. They split it 2-2. Rockies really took care of business, though, against the Brewers' big guns. They tagged Woodruff for 5 runs and Burns for 4. And sadly, my boy Austin Gomer left game 3 with an injury. You know I love him. Hopefully it's not serious. I think it was like a left forearm injury or something.
I did see that. Hope for a speedy recovery.
Yeah, but Germán Márquez, 6 shutout innings of one-hit baseball. Not much to say about this series. Split it 2-2. Moving on, we got your Phillies at San Fran, AT&T Park, or Oracle Park, I believe it's called now. I still call it AT&T. A lot of offense in this series. Phillies come out on top in game 2, 13-6, and the Giants come back with an 11-2 victory in game 3. Aaron Nola, game 2. What do you think about him? I mean, 2 and a third innings, gives up 6 runs, and this isn't like a once in a while thing right now for him. I mean, this is like every third start, he's kind of getting rocked.
No, you are absolutely correct. I think it's pretty clear that Wheeler has solidified himself as the ace in our rotation. I think right now, in the short 2-3 month span we've had, Nola has shown nothing more than a shitty fucking number 3. And people are tagging him up left and right. He's really making mistake pitches quite often, and at bats, I see him throwing 2-0 fastballs down the middle, 3-0 hanging curveballs right down the plate. I mean, his pitching decisions are not what we've seen in prior years. I think someone made a really good point about this the other day, is especially in the NL East games, those players are used to seeing him on a weekly basis and a yearly basis. They're used to seeing him, what he throws, the sinker, when he throws it, how it comes in. Not too big of a pitch arsenal, but, I mean, he's getting tagged, and he's got to start making some better pitching decisions, like I said. And right now I see him as a number 3. I think in our rotation he's a number 2, but he's playing like a 3 or 4.
Yeah, good. I was talking to my pops about this yesterday, with him obviously being a Phils fan. Well, I don't know if I've ever said that, but he is. He was saying about Nola – he doesn't know the stats, but he's saying we should look into it. He was wondering how Nola does after he throws like 85 plus pitches in a start. Cause he was saying like the start after he goes deep or throws a lot of pitches, he usually gets shelled. So maybe it's something with, he's just, once he throws in one start too many pitches, or he gets up to the 100 range or 90, something like that, his next start is not looking good. So maybe it's something with that with him.
So my opinion on that is I could see it potentially being a thing if there's a slight injury that he's not speaking up about, but you're giving him 5 days rest, 4 days rest. I really doubt that last game's success or failure could have anything to do with stamina in the next game, just because of the amount of rest between each game.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, to be fair, we don't really know, because obviously I highly doubt you've thrown like 100 pitches in a game before or something. And I certainly haven't. So maybe that just takes a toll on them differently than some other guys. And I'd like to look into that and see if that there's a truth behind that. If like after he throws a lot of pitches, he gets shelled. But
yeah, well, I've noticed a lot of his great games where he goes deep into games, his pitch count stays low.
Yeah, so it usually does.
It does stay really low.
Because like I've said to you before, when he's on and when he's pitching good, he's a pitch to contact guy. He's not a strikeout guy. I mean, yeah, he'll get his fair amount of strikeouts. He's got some nice strikeout stuff, but in all reality, when he's at his best, he's getting ground balls and he's getting pop flies and he's a pitch to contact kind of guy. And I think the Phillies are trying to turn him into like a strikeout pitcher.
No doubt. I could definitely see that being the case. Excuse me. But I think at the end of the day, he's not what we need to contend, and he's got to play better. And that's
agreed.
The basis of it.
Agreed. Well, it's let's move on, not harp about the same thing for too long. But yeah, Nola, we'll maybe go and do a little more about that in the Phil's Nats preview. Some hitting standouts. Wilmer Flores, 6-for-9 on the series with 2 tanks. Yaz went 4-for-13 with 2 bombs. And have yourself a game, Reese Hoskins in game 2. He had drove in 6, 2 dingers. Hell of a game from Big Reese.
Yeah, he was to all parts of the field too. He had double in the gap to right center, that triple alley, and hit 2 nukes to left field, which was really cool to see.
That's awesome. Yeah, but Giants take it 2-1. They're now 20 games over 500, and the Phillies fall to 1 game below 500. Moving on, we got your Reds. I'm going to call them your Reds since you're always hyping them up.
That's fair. That's fair.
And the Pods, the Reds get swept 4-0, 4-game sweep from the Pods. Great bounce back from them after getting swept by the Rockies. That was a huge statement they needed to make here. Tatis, he injured himself. I'm not sure what game it was, but he dove for a grounder. And he looked like he like hyperextended his shoulder. It was game 2. Okay.
Yeah, Kim played game 3, and it's not official yet, but it was looking like he's going to play tonight.
Kim or Tatis?
No, Kim is going to play.
Okay. Well, it doesn't sound like Tatis' injury is serious, but they're probably just being super cautious with him.
Yeah, it's day to day.
Yeah, so they sweep it. Joe Musgrove in game 1 goes 7 shutout, 4 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks. Nice outing from Musgrove for some hitting. Winker and Castellanos on the Reds. They both keep their averages 340 plus. The Bass brothers are still bashing. Will Myers over for San Diego, 6-for-16 with 2 nukes, 2 doubles, and a triple. Have yourself a series. And Manny Machado, he's been kind of having a slow start. He bounces back 4-for-12 with 2 doubles and a dinger in the series. Padres sweep at 4-0. They are now 41-32, and the Reds are still barely above 500 at 35-34. And moving on here, we got the Cards and the Bravos split at 2-2. Or no, my bad. Braves win 3-1. Braves, I mean, we hate them here. They have been struggling, but they bounce back nicely against the Cardinals. Chuck Morton, game 1, 7 2/3, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, 7 Ks. I think he had a no-hitter going for into like the 6th or the 7th or something.
Yeah.
He was throwing well. Max Fried comes back the next day, pretty much does the same thing. 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 6 Ks. Atlanta was all over him, except in game 3, St. Louis took care of business, but – Freeman, 5-for-15 on the series. Albies, 5-for-15 with a homer. Goldie on the other side, he goes 5-for-13 with a homer and drives in 5 on the series. But Atlanta winds up taking it. Cardinals, they're kind of after getting off to a really hot start. Or not really hot, but pretty hot. I mean, 36. Yeah,
I agree. They were looking like they could have been the front runners in the division, in the NL Central for a majority of the season, and they're having some troubles, no doubt.
Yeah, well, yeah, 36-36. I mean, they're kind of falling behind. They're tied with Cincy for 3rd place. So I was never a huge believer in the Cardinals. I'm pretty sure I predicted the Brewers to take it in the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm still sticking with that. I do like the Cubbies. But yeah, I got a St. Louis kind of disappointing. But Bravos, they are now 33-36, tied with the Nats. They play a 2-game doubleheader against the Mutts today, so we'll see how that goes. And we got the last NL series here, Dodgers and D-backs. I mean, at this point, the D-backs are just the absolute laughingstock of the league. I mean, they've lost 17 straight. I think like something like 23 straight road games, a negative 107 run differential. I don't know what the hell is wrong with this team. I know they're not this bad because they have some players, but I mean, it just must be one of those things where just nothing's going right for them. I haven't been watching any D-backs games or nothing, but they get swept here by the Dodgers. They almost came back in game three. I believe they were down 7-0 and they made it a game 9-8. But rough going for them. 17 straight losses. However you slice that, that's just horrible.
It is. And correction, back to the NL Central, we both did have the Cardinals winning the division.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, we both had them winning.
Huh. I'm pretty – oh, yeah. You're looking on our – on the podcast account, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I posted something on Strike Zone after that, and I changed it to – changed my prediction to the Brew Crew or something. But either way, fair enough. But the Dodgers,
that will wrap up the NL.
Yeah. Wait a second. I gotta go over Trevor Bauer's little pitching performance in game three. He goes 7 shutout innings with 8 Ks.
You might guess.
Now that'll wrap it up with the NL. And I should have just hit you with a
shut the fuck up, Donnie. But you were late to the party.
I was late to the party. But anybody that's seen the Big Lebowski, you will be hearing the shut the fuck up Donnie on here a lot, because that is one of our favorite fucking lines from any movie.
That is a fucking classic, to say the least. Anyways, we hop into the American League, leading it off with the Rays and the Mariners. This one,
yikes,
one of the biggest shocks of 2021 so far.
Oh, yeah.
Mariners sweep the Rays in 4. Yuli Kikuchi had a real nice start in game 2, coming out with 7 innings of 1-run baseball and 6 Ks. I mean, he got the job done, and the rest of the team did too. J.P. Crawford was 5-for-17 on the series with a homer and 4 ribbies. I noticed it was really balanced for the Mariners offense in this series. There was a few games where they were kind of quiet, but everybody kind of just gelled together and caught the Rays on a bad weekend, we'll say.
Yeah, and I mean, that was huge for not only the Mariners, but the Red Sox, because the Red Sox jump in the first place now. And that was huge. And I believe they are playing the Rays tomorrow because Wander's making his debut. I was going to try to get tickets, but they're pretty expensive right now because I guess people have been buying them up and shit because they heard Wander's coming up. But
yeah, he'll draw some fans for sure. I mean, top prospect.
Oh, number one prospect. But
exactly.
Yeah, walk-off Grand Salami from Shed Long. Posted that on the podcast account.
That was pretty cool. To wrap up the Rays Mariners, we had a tie. France 6-for-14 with a homer and ribby as well. Both the standouts, him and Crawford. Crawford's doing nice in the leadoff, man. He's batting just shy of 300 on the season, and he's fitting well into there. He just needed a couple years to settle into the league.
Yeah, sometimes guys just need a change of scenery.
Or just a little bit of time. I mean,
that's true. Yeah, a lot of people always say, and I know, like, a great example I always use is Javi Baez. I'm not a huge Javi Baez fan, but he was a guy that took 2-3 years before he really did anything in the league. And, like, guys, like, when top prospects like Franco, say he comes up and goes, like, 0-for-12, his first 12 at-bats, everybody will be like, oh, what a bust. Like, people got to – sometimes it takes years for these guys to find their stride.
Kelenic's a perfect example. I mean, not really like you said, but, you know, had a homer in his, second game?
Yeah, in his second game, I think he went like 4-for-5 or something.
Right. And now he's been quiet since. We haven't heard much of him.
And people like just take that and write him off and shit. But, I mean, the dude's what? I have no idea how old he is, but I'm going to guess like 20, 21.
20. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes most guys aren't even in the majors until they're 23, 24. It's like an anomaly when these guys come up at 19, like Harper and Soto and those kind of guys coming up, Trout, like when they're 19, 20 years old, and people just expect them to be like the next coming to Mike Trout or something. Like, sometimes guys take some time.
Well said. Anyways, that will wrap up the Rays Mariners. Mariners get the 4-0 sweep on a big shocker. We now go into the Twins at Texas. Pretty dud of a series here. I mean, we had a Minnesota sweep. Kind of predicted that. Buxton actually made his return and hit a homer in game 2. That was really cool to see. And it was the second game off the IL. He played game one and two, sat out game three. Nelson Cruz, though, we got to talk about him.
Killing it.
4-for-10 with a homer and three ribbies on the series. And this month, 392 with five homers and 12 ribbies through 50 ABs. There is one game this month where he did not have a hit. So far,
dude's like a cyborg, man. He just gets better with age every year.
Exactly.
I've never seen a player like this that like gets better as they get older. Like the only other example I can think of is like Adrian Beltre. He was a guy that seemed to get better with age.
Right.
But I remember like when in the early 2010s, when Cruz was on like the Rangers and stuff, he was always a big power bat, but he was never
Mariners, O's.
Yeah. I think when he went to the O's was like his first like huge, like 40 homer year. And then ever since that, he just hasn't slowed down.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's an animal, and to this day, he's still showing. I think he's 43, 42.
Something like that. It's crazy.
38. I think
let's take a look. I think he's definitely over 40.
40. I want to say 42, 43 then.
He is 40 on the dot. He turns 41. 41
in 10 days.
Yeah, in 10 days. So he'll be 41 pretty soon.
Incredible, man. Incredible. And we had a nice start from Jose Berrios in game two. It wasn't nice, but
it wasn't horrible.
There's only one from the series that was worth noting. I mean, not many starters did much in this series.
I think he's going to be a huge trade piece for them at the deadline, Berrios. And I'm not sure what his contract looks like, but I think he's probably got a few years of control. So I bet you they can get a pretty penny back for him.
He would be a perfect fit for literally any rotation that's contending. Yeah,
exactly. Like what contender couldn't use a guy like Berrios?
I think anywhere he stands at an easy number three, number two, I'd say.
For sure. Yeah, well, I'm super excited to see what happens at the deadline. I think I was going to ask you about that. I think maybe a week or a few days before the deadline, we should do an episode just talking about the deadline and going over some trade ideas and shit like that.
No doubt. I think if by that time we'll probably have some trades that were already finalized.
We've already had the Willy Adames one. That was an early one, but
right,
we'll probably start seeing a few more as we come into July, and then as we get closer to July 31st, it's gonna be exciting.
No doubt about it. Twins sweep the Rangers 3-0 nonetheless. We now hop into White Sox at the Astros. This one was a pretty good one. I mean, you didn't know what was going to happen. Two of the best teams going at it, if not the two best. And Houston comes out on top in all four games with the sweep. Luis Garcia was the notable pitcher of the series for me. Seven innings, seven hits, eight Ks on one earned run in game one. And Jose Altuve is continuing to start to stand out again. You know, we thought maybe he cooled down after 2017, but this season he's looking pretty good. 5-for-15 on the series with a homer and three ribbies.
Yeah. Seven dubs in a row now for Houston. And I think they tied Oakland for first in the West now. And I'm telling you, I've been a Houston supporter all year. You know it. And this team is a World Series contender. Because
I still got the A's taking it, man.
I don't know, dude. I can't. I mean, I don't have a problem with the A's, but Matt Chapman has just been – he's been so disappointing. I'm a huge Chapman fan, and I predicted him for MVP, and he's been pretty disappointing. Matt Olson, of course, is picking up the slack, but, I mean, to be honest, it's really hard to predict anything without seeing what happens at the trade deadline because – say a guy like Max Scherzer is on the move, which I don't think he will be. I never thought he would, even when the Nats were sucking, and especially now that we're starting to play well. But, I mean, a guy like Max Scherzer, you trade for him, that completely shakes up the whole entire league. I mean, imagine like a team like the White Sox got Max Scherzer. I mean, that would completely change my view on them.
Right. And you got to think about it like this in regards to Chapman, right? Like, he's slumping right now. Olsen's picking him up. Luriano's picking him up. The rest of the team's picking him up. You got to think he'd come out of this eventually. I mean, we're only in the second month of the season, third month of the season, and there's still plenty of baseball to be played. I mean, he heats up, and the A's could run away with this.
That's very true. But the only thing that I'm a little worried about with Chapman is he's never been, like, an elite offensive stick. Like, he's always been an above-average offensive stick, don't get me wrong. But he's, like, well above average. He was a great hitter. But he's never been, like, that guy that you want in the middle of your order, and he's like your big gun in your lineup. So I'm kind of worried if he'll turn it around or not. So I hope he does, though. Possible. I love Chapman.
I mean, you could say the same about Castellanos right now. I mean, he's had some good seasons, right? Chapman's had some decent seasons, and now he's on a surge. I mean, anything could happen. That's the beauty of this sport. Anything could happen.
That is the beauty of this sport, and that's why I love this sport, because, I mean, I was going to say, like the NBA, where you fucking pretty much know who's going to win every series, it feels like. But that can't be said anymore with that Sixers shit.
Don't even talk about the NBA, bro. That's going to fucking boil my fucking blood.
Yeah, it's not even. We're not even going to get into that on here. We're not even going to get into that. But
yeah, maybe we'll make a Sixers podcast in the off season and talk about how fucking dog water they are.
Fucking Doc Rivers, dude. He is out of his element.
Motherfucker. All I gotta say about him and Ben.
Yeah, both of those motherfuckers. Well, Sox get swept. I love it because I am not a huge Sox fan. I think they're a little too cocky and they haven't done enough. And you got guys like Tim Anderson saying before the season started, we're the best team in the AL. Like, where do you get off saying that? You haven't been a contender in fucking years.
Exactly.
I just think they're a little too cocky. I'm not a huge fan of the White Sox this year.
They're a young team, too.
Yeah, I mean, they got some cool pieces. I don't know. I'm just not a huge fan of them.
Well, they're playing well. Nonetheless, I mean, the sweep is one thing, but the record is...
Yeah, they're definitely...
It speaks higher volumes.
For sure.
One player I wanted to note on here is Abraham Toro. Very few appearances as of late. 7-for-12 on this series with a homer, 5 ribbies, and a stolen base. I have him up here. The guy is a third baseman, and he's 24 years old, 6 foot. Only has 188 major league at-bats, 23 at-bats this season with 8 hits, batting .348. So real, real low amount of time on the Astros right now. I mean, but hey, nonetheless, he's raking, dude. Yeah, he's a switch hitter.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I've never heard of him myself. I mean, it kind of sounds a little bit, but I think I'm thinking of Abraham Almonte on the Braves, but yeah.
Fifth round, back 16, and he made his debut a couple years ago, but he's batting just under .350 right now with those 23 at-bats. So, hey, I mean, I guess Astros are wanting anybody they can have. They are not content. They want more rings, and all power to them for bringing up guys like this and experimenting.
Sure.
But nonetheless, the White Sox get swept by the Astros 4-0. We now lead into the Red Sox playing at KC. This one was surprising, man. Even though Boston does move up into the one spot, the Royals take the series 2-1. Mike Minor had a great start in game 3, going 6 2/3 with 6 Ks, giving up 2 on 9 hits. And Salvi Perez continues to rake at the dish, going 5-for-13 in the series with a double and a homer. Nicky Lopez was 7-for-11 with 6 singles, made his way around the bases a few times, and had a double in there along with those 7 hits. We see Alex Verdugo is still raking for the Red Sox.
I love Verdugo.
Yeah, I mean, how do you not love him? Great player.
Well, I called this. You got to tip your cap to me, because I've been saying – before the season even started, you got to watch out for the Sox. They got a killer lineup, and if their pitching can step up, they're going to be a contender, and that's exactly what's happening.
In this series, it wasn't the case, but, I mean,
yeah, it's not, just like this the series. White Sox.
The record speaks higher volume.
Exactly, and, I mean, they've had some guys like Eduardo Rodriguez and Garrett Richards. I mean, none of them are, like, pitching like Cy Youngs or anything. Nick Pivetta, another one. All these guys are just stepping up and pitching some good games, at least enough to keep them in the games that their offense can bash. Because
that is the big shocker in there.
Well, I don't know how people are writing this team off and thinking they're bad. Like, any team that's got a lineup that consists of Devers, Bogarts, JD, Verdugo, I mean, they gotta be something. They gotta be something. So
Dalbec in there too. He had a nice series.
Dalbec, yeah, he's another guy. Christian Vasquez he's not big with the stick, but a nice defensive catcher. He can swing it a bit.
Yeah, they've had all the pieces. It's just gelling for them right now. What's working is working, and they're gonna run with this thing. I think you'll definitely see them in the postseason. Whether or not they make a push, I'm thinking is unlikely. But as of right now, they're in a great spot.
It's all going to depend on when they get Sale back, how he performs, and what they do at the deadline. Because if they can pick up I would not be surprised if they're a big player for Jose Berrios if he's available. I could see them going after him hard.
That's a bold prediction that I totally agree with happening.
Yeah, that's maybe in our trade deadline episode. We pop some predictions on where we see guys going, because that's two I got already right now. I got Berrios to the Red Sox. Now that I said that, I like that a lot. And Trevor Story to the Brewers. I'm manifesting it, and I want it to happen. Story and Yelich in the same lineup would be awesome.
We need to confirm this by going back, but I could have sworn we both mentioned Willy Adames getting traded, like before, I think like a month before it happened.
We might have. I have no idea. We'd have to go back and check, but I kind of do remember saying something. I said
Brewers needed a shortstop, is what I said.
And yeah, and I was saying how the Rays have Franco and that Taylor Walls and Vidal Brujan all waiting, so they kind of are looking to get rid of some middle infielders to make room for those guys.
It's all coming back now. Yep, we did predict something along the lines of it, and it all came together, but. Nah, I think you guys should stay tuned for our predictions for the deadline. I think we're pretty in the relevant ballpark on what could happen. And we'll get those out there for you guys. But back to the recaps. That wraps up Red Sox Royals. KC takes it 2-1. And we'll jump into the A's playing at the Yankees. The Yankees take it 2-1. Pretty big comeback for them, if I'm going to speak for it. Every Yankee sucked rotation-wise in the series. Bassett was a big standout. Didn't have his best outing, but he limited the Yanks to 2 runs across 6 innings with 7 Ks. And on the offensive side, LeMahieu was 3-for-13 with another homer and a double with 4 ribbies to his name. Judge was 3-for-12. Stanton was 3-for-13, I believe. And on the Oakland side of offense, you have a continuing to rake Matt Olson, 6-for-14 with 2 nukes on the series.
He is fun to watch. What has he got, 20 on the year now, I think?
Yes. I think he is at 20, yeah.
Yeah, he's another guy. After the 60-game season, I think he hit like under 200, and he was still hitting homers, but that's about it. And a lot of people wrote him off. And that's why, like, people don't realize that 60-game season last year, like, when people, like, I don't want to be the dick that's like, oh, it's a Mickey Mouse award, Mickey Mouse Cy Young, it doesn't deserve it, because, to be fair, they were still the best pitcher. No matter how many games it was, they were still better than everybody else that pitched the same amount of time. So they got to be awarded. Yeah, they got to be awarded for something. But to look at that season as a actual like reference of stats or something is just ridiculous, because we're through like almost 70 games right now. The season would have been over like a week ago, and look how many guys are starting to turn it around right now. I'm just going to use Josh Bell as an example, because I watch him every day.
How about and Schwarber?
Schwarber, yeah. I mean, Schwarber's been hitting decent all year. But Josh Bell, he's a guy that was like, the first month of the season, he couldn't buy a hit. And now I believe he has like a 118 WRC plus since May 1st, which isn't anything great, but he's starting to pick it up. So, yeah, that's six.
Both started out pretty slow. I think they were both hovering around 230, 240 for the first month.
Yeah, I believe Schwarber's got his average up to 240 right now. But in Schwarber's last seven games, he's hitting 385 with a 1077 slugging.
Jesus.
Not OPS, 1077 slugging.
In the last 10, you said?
In the last seven.
Seven, okay. Wow. Yeah, he's really heating up for sure.
But, sure. Oh, yeah. Go ahead and finish your last series, and then I got to say something.
Yeah, yeah. So that wraps up A's Yankees. Yankees take it 2-1. Their offense was pretty quiet. And we'll finish it up with Blue Jays O's. I know Donnie's got something to say over there, so we'll make this quick. Blue Jays at the O's, like I said. Baltimore wins game one. Toronto finishes out the series with game two and three as W's. And Ryu was definitely the player standout for the whole series in regards to pitching. Dean Kramer, though, I wanted to talk about him real quick. He pitched in game two for the O's. Six innings, six Ks, two earned runs with three walks. Real nice. His two runs were homers, though. I haven't heard of him, but pretty nice start. Thought I'd put that out there for you guys. Look for Dean Kramer, see if he can keep it up. Hitting standouts, Vlad Jr. I mean, he's going to be hitting home runs every fucking day, it seems like. 3-for-12 on the series with three ribbies and a double along with that home run. Randall Grichuk for Fiji over there. I know he loves fucking mispronounced words.
Grichuk.
Thank you. He's finally caught on. It is Grichuk. 4-for-13 on the series with two ribbies. And our boy, Cedric Mullins.
The goat.
Four homers on this series, man.
I love Cedric, dude. And apparently everybody does because I made that fucking post about him on Strike Zone. And that's – I didn't – usually when I make posts like that, I mean, they get a decent amount of likes, but not many comments. But, dude, everybody was loving that post. It's got over 1,000 likes and almost 100 comments. And people seem to love this guy, and I'm one of them.
Hey, and he's on a shit team too, and he's playing above it and just doing his thing. I mean, 319 on the season with 13 homers. Have yourself a season, man. Cedric,
yeah. He's,
I mean, hey, I could see him, if he keeps this up, top five MVP for the AL. He's I don't see him winning it, but top five for sure.
He's got a top five WAR right now out of anybody in the league.
It's incredible.
It is. And before we break into the interleague, it looks like we forgot to add a series here. We missed the Angels and Tigers. We forgot to add. So I'm just going to look at it on my phone and go over it real quick, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no problem.
Angels take the series 3-1. And honestly, all I have to do is talk about Shohei Ohtani here. I hate to keep talking about the guy. He gets so much press, but I mean, how could you not? Just listen to this fucking shit, dude. This is insane. Let me pull it up real quick. In his last, so going back to June 15th, we got a homer on June 15th. June 16th, a homer. June 17th, he pitched six shutout innings against the Tigers. June 18th, we got two homers. June 19th, another homer. And yesterday, June 20th, another homer. The dude has had a home run in five of his last six games, and the one game that he didn't hit a home run, he fucking threw six shutout innings. I mean, this guy is on another planet.
He is, and that's really the best way to sum it up. When you're homering almost every day of the week and you're pitching shutout baseball, MVP all the way, dude. I don't care what Vlad is doing.
Yeah. It's a shame because I love Vlad and I wouldn't be pissed if he won, But if the season ended right now, I got to give it to Ohtani, dude. I mean, how could you? 53 innings with 73 Ks and a sub-3 ERA, along with he's leading the league in fucking home runs. I mean, come on. The dude's
this
like,
is
it's
how
like
I see AL MVP going. If Vlad gets the triple crown, he's winning it. If not, Ohtani's getting it. Case
yeah,
closed.
Yeah, that's fair to say. Well, I'm actually rocking my Shohei shirt right now, so repping him. But hell of a series for him, dude. I don't even know what to say about that guy. He's just incredible.
He just better hope Vlad doesn't get that triple crown and he's got the MVP.
He better hope. Oh, and my bad. His start, he actually gave up. He went 6 innings of 1-hit ball, so it wasn't a shutout. But his only run he gave up was a solo shot to Jonathan Scope.
Scope, the BR glitch.
Is the BR glitch. But Shohei on another fucking planet right now. I don't even know what to say about that guy. And that'll wrap up the AL unless you got anything you'd like to say about the Angels Tigers.
Now, a lot of sweeps in this weekend. I noticed that.
Yeah, there was. There's been a lot of sweeps just in general lately. But
a lot of mismatches.
Yeah, agreed. And then we got one interleague series I'll do real quick. Pittsburgh and the Indians at PNC Park, one of the most beautiful parks. Pittsburgh takes it actually 2-1, surprisingly. JT Brubaker, cool name, in game 3, Baker's 6 2/3, a 2-hit ball, 9 Ks. And then we got the two pretty much only bright spots for this Pittsburgh team, Brian Reynolds and Adam Frazier. Reynolds went 5 for 12 with a dinger, 4 ribbies, and Adam Frazier, he went 3 for 11 with a ribby. He's a guy that's probably going to be on the trade market, and I've heard the Nats might be interested in him if they're going to be buyers, and I'd love that.
You're not contending. I'm thinking you guys are going to pull off this crazy. Dude,
you know what? Shit. We are contending, you
motherfucker.
So fuck off.
We'll
guess
see,
what, man. Asshole? You keep saying that, but you're a game ahead of us. One game. We take both of those games this week against your ass. Guess who's ahead of you? Us.
And what's the series looking like right now on the season for Phil's Nats?
It is 4-2, Phil's.
We'll be 6-2 on Wednesday evening.
Will! I got to hit you with one of those for this comment.
Forget it, Donnie. You're out of your element.
You are out of your fucking element.
I beg to differ, man. Yeah. I don't see it. The Nats don't have it.
They do have it. You'll fucking see. All right, break into the power rankings real quick. I will start it off. I got the Giants, number 1, Red Sox, 2, Strohs, 3, Dodgers, 4, White Sox, 5, Rays, 6, 7. I got the A's, Padres, 8, Cubs, 9, and I put the Indians in there at number 10.
Damn, dude, the Rays really slid down your list this week.
Dude, getting swept in a 4-game series by the M's will do that to you.
Right. I like it. Mine got to start it off with the Giants. I mean, they did take out the Phils, and they've been hot. Followed by the Dodgers, White Sox, Red Sox, Rays, Padres, A's, Cubs, Astros, Brewers.
What?
Yes.
The Strohs are that low?
What the
dude,
fuck
I
is
am
going
not
on? What
I
the
am
fuck
not
is going on?
That's what I got to say to that shit.
Dude, I'm not high on them.
Dude, they just swept the Sox.
Not high on them, man. A's got it. And I will run with that through September into October. A's have that division.
Whatever, Donnie. All right. Well,
We're now going to hop into trivia.
Yep.
So in a teammate and good friend of mine, Evan Shade, say hello to the fans at home.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right. So from last episode, we had a little sudden death. We tied and we brought Evan here to settle the sudden death with a very difficult question.
How this will work is he's going to ask us a very tough question, and we first person to say, we're just going to say, I got it. Whoever says that first will get the chance to answer it. And if they get it wrong, the other person will get their chance. And if we both get it wrong, I don't know.
We'll find another
one. Yeah, we'll find another one.
So, Evan, take it away. Sudden death. You're on.
I know we got some real high IQ baseball here. Hopefully this question is tough enough. I'm not sure if it is, but I'm just going to go for it. All right, here we go. Most people know 2012, Seattle Mariners pitcher Felix Hernandez pitched a perfect game. Extremely rare feat. In that game, I want you guys to name the opposing starting pitcher for that game.
Can you give us the team?
Felix, 2012, perfect game.
Can you give us the team he did it against?
Yes, I can.
No. If he does, hold on. If he does that,
well,
then it kind of gives it away.
Nah, there's a whole pitching staff you can pick from.
Dude, if he had a perfect game, he probably threw up like 20 Ks. He probably K'd everybody in the lineup.
No, I'm saying like what team the opposing pitcher was on.
Oh, okay.
What team he threw the no-hitter against.
So who was the opposing pitcher is the question.
Yeah, so I'm asking what team he threw it against.
Got it. To give it to you. So his perfect game was against the Tampa Bay Rays.
The Rays, okay.
I got it.
Fuck you.
Price.
That's your final answer, Shane?
Yes.
David Price is incorrect.
No way.
Let's go. All right, now I got it.
Chances, doors open for you.
Okay, I'm going to say, you said 2012. I'm going to say.
That must have been a little late for Price.
He might have still been on there, but I'm going to say James Shields.
James Shields is incorrect.
Ooh, that's a good guess, though. That's a good guess.
What is the answer? You can go ahead and drop it now.
You want me to give it to you? Because I could give you one more hint. I think it might be.
Okay, yeah. All right.
For you, but I
we'll give it. Shane, you can have the chance to answer it again.
This is a gnat. This is a gnat. I just can't. It's not Hellickson. Because he was on the O's.
Oh, it might have. Nuh-uh, he was on the Rays. Fuck.
Is it Hellickson?
Shane, is that your final answer?
Yes.
That's who's asking?
Jeremy Hellickson.
That is correct.
Let's go,
fucker!
Let's go!
Motherfucker!
Motherfucker! Let's go!
All right, good shit, Theo.
A great game. He pitched 7 innings, only allowed 1 run on a RBI single by Jesus Montero in the 3rd inning. But he did earned the loss in that game thanks to Hernandez's just outstanding performance of 12 strikeouts.
Fuck, dude.
Great question, Evan.
Thank you
for joining us.
Yeah, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
That was a lot of fun. We'll see you at the game later. Take care.
See you guys.
Later. All right. Yeah, I got to tip my cap to that.
Sudden death.
I did help your ass out with Hellickson because you probably wouldn't have said that.
Yeah, but I did say his name, though.
Yeah, you did say it. My next guess was going to be Chris Archer, to be honest.
Dude, I thought he rookie of the year at the O's. Or maybe
No, he was rookie of the year with the Rays.
Gotcha.
But now that concludes the last week, so we'll give Shane an extra point. It is now 7-6. I have the lead still. That could change here because we still got to 3 questions. Shane, go ahead and give me your first question, Nats related.
All right. We're going to start this one out simple. How many Expos players are in the Hall?
Well, let me ask you this. Is this somebody that's in the Hall of Fame with the Expos, like they're wearing an Expos hat on their plaque, or just they played for the Expos in their career?
Played for the Expos in their career.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right. Well, you got Pedro. You got Randy Johnson.
No, then this is wrong then. Then it is.
Okay. It's just if they're in the hall with the Expos.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so, I don't think Vlad is in with the Expos. I think he went in with the Angels. Same, Gary Carter, I'm pretty sure he's in with the Mets, probably. Tim Raines, he made it to the hall, I believe. Okay, I'm going to say, this is a good one. I'm going to say three.
Three would be correct.
Let's go. Who is it?
Gary Carter, oh. Andre Dawson, and Tim Raines.
The Hawk. Yep. All right. I didn't know Carter was in there with the Expos. Well, that was pretty much a blind guess right there. I had a decent idea. I'll fucking well take done. It.
Well done.
All right. Your question is a little more simple. But if you've never seen it, it could be tricky. I got for you who, when the Phillies won the World Series in 2008, who took home the World Series MVP award?
Shea Sutley.
Incorrect.
No way. Was it Lidge?
No, it was not. It was Cole Hamels.
Wow.
Only reason I know that, I didn't even look that question up because I used to have this book. And it went over like the last 10 World Series champions when I was a kid. And it showed you like the World Series MVP. And I remember it showed Hamels, but they fucking misspelled it in the book. And it said Cole Hamel. It didn't have the S at the end. So that's the only reason why I remember that shit.
Man, I really fucked that one. Forgot he was out MVP.
All right.
You're up 1-0. Question number two. Coming at you. Who is the last Angel to win the home run derby?
Last Angel to win the home run derby. I'm hoping Ohtani can take that crown soon. But I'm gonna say I know Vlad was in it. I don't know if he won, but I'm gonna go with Vlad.
Correct.
Let's go.
Very nice. Very nice.
All right. Your question is, who was the, this is easy. Do not let it fool your ass. Who was the first player to hit 50 home runs in a season?
This can't be this easy.
I know you're thinking it, and I'm pretty sure it is that easy. Just give me the answer. I know you know it. Come on.
Babe Ruth.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that game, I'm honestly embarrassed that you'd even ask me that.
Well, I thought it might be able to stump your ass because you'd be, like, thinking, like, no way you'd give me this question. All right. Theo gets one, and now we have our two tough questions. Go ahead and throw it at me.
All right. This one could have went either way in regards to difficulty. Who is the youngest MLB player to homer in 5 straight games? I will give you a hint. He is a current player.
Youngest player to homer in 5 straight games?
Yep.
Give me, I have an idea that I just thought about for this trivia that we can kind of add in if you're okay with it. It kind of sounds like I'm being a D-bag and just using it for my own help right now, but I think it's kind of cool, what idea, so hear me out. What if for all 3 questions, you can ask for 1 hint on any question, but once you ask for your hint, you're done on, but you can use it on any question.
All right. I like that.
So, The question is, can I use it right now, or do we have to wait until next episode to reinstate that rule?
Use it right now, only because the hint we got with Shade was related to the prior trivia from last episode.
Bet. Okay. Then hit me with my hint.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me, like meaning ask a question. Should that be how it works?
Wait, what?
Should it be? Well, I already gave you a hint. It's current player.
Wow. All right.
I literally wrote next to it, hint, current player.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Let me bear down and get this shit. Youngest player to hit five home runs, to hit a home run in five straight games, right?
Yep.
Harper?
Incorrect.
Shit.
What is it? Ronald Acuna Jr.
Damn it. All right. You stumped me. But I think that's a good idea for the next episode and shit.
I like it. I might have to use my hint here.
Yeah.
Just tie it up.
Well, I don't know if you'll even need a hint here because it's multiple choice. So okay. My question is, first player to throw a ball 100 miles per hour plus. So first player ever to hit 100 plus on the radar gun. And your multiple choice options are Nolan Ryan, Aroldis Chapman, Tom Seaver, Bob Gibson.
Bob Gibson.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
It would be incorrect.
No way. It was Tom Seaver.
It was Tom Seaver.
Fuck.
That was a tricky one. That was a tricky one. I saw that and I thought it would be a good one.
I'm really fucking pissed about that.
Well, that puts the series at 9-7. Or no. Yeah. Because you got one right. And before we started, it was 7-6 when you got the plus one. So now it is 9-7. I got the lead.
Cap is tipped.
Damn right it's tipped. We got anything else you want to go over before we call this a wrap up?
I mean, I think we covered everything, man. Wander Franco debut coming up. They said Tuesday or was it Thursday?
Tuesday, yeah, tomorrow. So tomorrow. He will be making it.
Along with Phillies Nats, we have a Wander Franco debut, number one prospect in baseball.
Yeah, and then like we said, it's in the title. Not much to talk about with it, but Shohei is in the Derby. Get hyped for that. That's going to be a freaking sight to see.
We're going to have an episode covering All-Star lineups, predictions for the Derby. You guys are going to love that one.
Hell yeah. Well, it's funny because I'm coming to PA to visit back to my town where Theo resides. And I will be leaving. I'll be getting the plane and landing on the 12th of July. And the All-Star game is the 13th. So it kind of puts us in a rough spot. But we're definitely going to be watching that game. We might do a little live stream on Instagram or something.
Definitely.
So that's going to be fun, doing our home run derby predictions, all that good shit. And then before we wrap it up, I just wanted to go over a few series to look forward to next week or next episode we'll be talking about. We got the Braves and the Mets. That should be a good one. Division rivals, always a good series. We got the Indians and the Cubbies rematch, 2016 World Series. We got the Dodgers and Padres in San Diego. That's always one of the best series.
Yeah, that's probably number one right now.
Yeah. And then we, of course, got the Phils and Nats, which we will be going into depth about, and actually a lot of good series. We got the Red Sox at the Rays. I mean, a lot of division matchups here. Giants, Angels, that should be interesting. So a lot of fun series to look forward to talking about next week. And if that's all you got, I am pretty much done.
That's it. That's it, boys. That's a wrap. Great episode. Appreciate all the support. You guys are tearing it up every day. It's crazy, man. It's crazy what we're seeing. And With that being said, we'll see you all on Friday along with tomorrow's Phillies Nats episode. Have a great rest of your week. We're signing off.
Later.
And before you click off, check out our sponsored segment, Anchor.
Yep, just check it out. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Anchor before you go and why it's the best way to make a podcast.
That will conclude this week's episode of Playing the Numbers Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Your feedback is very important to us, so leave a review and tell us your thoughts. Check back every Monday for a new weekly recap episode and hear what went on around the league.